with that. And then, of course, the other thing, if you're in the Chicago area, I'd even say 2 hours out of the Chicago area, and Doug might agree with this. He might not. I honestly think I have the third biggest show in Chicago or in Illinois. I'll say Illinois because C2E2 and Wizard obviously are bigger. But I honestly think I have the third largest show in Illinois because the idea behind it was to showcase creators, kind of like Space does in Ohio, where you come to the show and you get to actually see who's local and working on comics. And that's the whole idea behind it. And this year we're really focusing on the creators with two shows. So if you come to the one show, you'll get 50 creators, and then if you come to the other show, 50 new creators because no one's allowed to overlap. So that's the whole idea behind that. So I mean, and both shows, the spring show is already sold out, and the fall show is very, very close to actually selling out, which I'm shocked because it's in September. And that's the whole idea behind it. I mean, it's $3 to get in. So this is not C2E2 or Wizard. You're not being ass raped to walk in the door. And the creator is only paying $30 per table. So don't ever tell me that you're not going to make money at DanCon. Unless you
Right.
can't sell your
No.
stuff.
Unless you suck.
Yeah.
And nobody wants your stuff. But I think that's at most shows. You don't make any money, it's your own fault.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's something for a whole nother show is I could sit here and go on about how the hell do you create something and then not promote the shit out of it.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, that is a whole nother. We'll have to do that.
Yeah, I'll be back next week.
We could have gone into it more, but I didn't, you know, I mean, there's no way to ignore the 800-pound gorilla in the room. It's just like sucking all the air out of everything.
No,
But yeah.
Doug, I'll say this. Doug is one of the only people, and this is out of last year at DanCon we had 60 people. Doug is one of the only people who would say where he was going to be. I don't understand your marketing if you want to make money doing comics.
Wait, what? Nobody else promoted themselves going to the show?
There were very, very few.
Yeah, that's you know.
Just because
The problem is, I'll say, you know, this in their defense. The mentality of a writer and an illustrator isn't usually that outgoing. But, you know, it's an introverted personality.
correct. No, I 100% agree.
But you still got to figure something out. You can't just show up at a place and put your nose in your sketchbook and sit there for 6 hours and think you're going to make any money.
Look what happened when we were at Fanfare, not this past year, but the year before, in 2011. Everybody, and you know what? Yes, there were things going on in the city, right? But everybody was at this point where it was the promoter's fault. It's never, I will 100% say this as a promoter, it is not the promoter's fault. I do what I can to get people to the show, but I cannot get your fans to come to that show. If you don't tell, I can tell on Facebook, let's say I have 1,000 friends. I can tell 1,000 people what's going on. But if you have 1,000 friends, that's 2,000 people that know. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
If
yeah. Well, it's the promoter's job to promote the show.
correct.
However, you can't just say, "Well, it's the promoter's job and do nothing," because if you do that, then you get everybody the promoter knows about, and sometimes that's great, sometimes it's okay, and sometimes it's nothing.
Right.
But if you want to act like a winner, you want to succeed at something, you gotta work. So how it really works is you got 50 creators telling their, 1,000 fans, that's 50,000 people who know.
Exactly. Then I
And
have.
no promoter can make it as good as it could be if everybody does their part. There's a magazine, I won't say the name of it, that I did some stuff for, and it was one of those anthologies where we're going to get six guys and we're all going to pitch in and you make it a success. And, the theory being that six guys will tell all their six readers and you'll get six times the readership. But that never works,
Right.
ever. What you have is the promoter or the publisher doing a little bit, but not as much as he should because he's also doing all the stuff that entails publishing. and then you'll have one or two guys sort of do something, and then everybody else will just sit and wait for the book to come out.
Yep.
Stuff that doesn't work. Everybody's got to work.
Most ass-backwards, to everyone, if you don't know this, the comics industry is the most ass-backwards industry of that is. I don't even know of another industry that's as horrible as this.
Yeah, the inmates run the asylum. It's lunacy because nobody looks at it like a business. The stores don't look at it like a, you know, by and large. There are people who do know what they're doing, like me and Dan.
If you ever get to see behind the scenes of it all, you can see every single flaw in what's wrong. Oh my God, it's so obvious. It's the most obvious thing. How do you make pre-orders? How do you base an industry off of pre-orders? How did the industry, and Doug's been in the industry long enough that he might actually be able to answer it. How did the industry go from direct market to just pre-orders? I mean, it's what the hell happened? You know?
Well, it used to be all newsstand stuff. I think it's Marvel's fault, really. It used to be all newsstand, you know, where they just order, you know. Boy, this is, we'll just, how long are we up to?
Oh, we're up to 52.
Well, maybe we'll break it in half and stuff or something.
Well, whatever.
Otherwise, Joe complains because it takes too long to upload, and then the time's out.
Damn it, Joe.
But, it used to be newsstand. A newsstand distribution is everybody just orders their books, and whatever doesn't sell gets picked up, and then they figure out how much you made as a publisher based on what they didn't take back. And then sometime in, like, the 80s, I think, you know, comic book stores, they started becoming, actual comic book stores started becoming a big deal. You know, you started seeing 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 comic book stores, as opposed to people just buying stuff at, you know, the pharmacy and stuff like that. So then Marvel started doing some direct distribution to stores, and that sort of led the way to everybody ordering out of a catalog instead of just ordering in bulk. Does that make any sense?
No, but it 100% makes sense. I mean, but think about this, right? Say you worked for, and the only thing coming to my mind right now is Penguin Publishing. A company that puts out actual novels or biographies or whatever, right? They're an actual book company. What happens if they go to pre-orders instead of just printing? Where did that go? You know? How is that not part of that? And how about this? Okay, so just to give everyone...
Let me explain, because there's people listening to this who don't even know that I do comics.
Oh.
A pre-order is... a comic book store gets a catalog that has all the comic books in it. And then they order however many they want, and then they place their orders, and then the distributor collects those orders and sends them to all the publishers, and then the publishers print up those books and send them to all the distributors, and the distributor sends them to all the stores, and this takes like 3 months. So there's a 3-month lag. If you want Arsenic Lullaby, you know, there'd be like a 3-month lag. I would have to get you to get excited about it, 3 months ago order, and then get you excited about it again to come back and buy it. Like Dan said, it's lunacy. It's madness.
It's the dumbest thing. And I have a prime example right here, Doug. Okay? You had to go to a Kickstarter, yet IDW put out My Little Pony number one, and I don't know if you know this, but I'll let you guess. How many issues do you think they sold?
Oh, probably 10,000. Probably a lot, right?
Try again. I'm not even going to tell you how far off you are with 10,000.
Am I high or low?
You are low.
50,000.
100.
Wow!
100,000 copies of My Little Pony.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Well, it's passive aggressive, Dan. That's what that is.
That is...
Why would you tell me that? How do you go, I feel good about the Kickstarter thing, I'm going to go hang myself.
But no, how fucked up, in all reality, how fucked up is that? I don't. Can we cuss on your podcast?
Yeah, well, it's too late now. We're both had them.
Okay, but it just if you were to think about that, right? I mean, My Little Pony. You're talking about an industry where people, and totally no offense, but people are going to Kickstarter just to fund their books. IDW can put out a book called My Little Pony, which has, and for all I know, I don't have kids. I don't watch Saturday morning cartoons if they even still exist. But My Little Pony is what's selling comics now?
Well, here's the problem, and this is the problem with this pre-order business. They sold 100,000 copies of My Little Pony to the stores.
Correct.
They haven't sold one yet. So all these stores saw My Little Pony, and they think, whoa, that's My Little Pony. Everybody knows what that is. Give me 20 copies. They'll probably have 19 copies 4 months from now, still sitting on the shelf collecting dust. You know, like Cyber Force, and all those Image stuff. They load up on with the pre-orders. Then 3 months later, they realize, oh, wait, no girls ever come in my store. I forgot.
Right.
What am I going to do with all these My Little Ponies?
Like, it's this magic magnet that's just going to draw the girl.
Yeah, because I have My Little Pony on the shelf, all of a sudden the girls are going to start coming in.
Right.
Even though
because
I've not marketed anything to them ever.
Well,
so then My Little Pony sits on the shelf, and they lose their ass on My Little Pony, and then that sours them on buying it, taking a chance again. And then the cycle continues and continues and continues until a book like Arsenic Lullaby that actually sells, they only order 3 copies because they don't want to get burned again. And they're so stupid, they don't realize, you know, Arsenic Lullaby has been selling for 10 years, and it always sells out. I don't have any back issues anywhere of anything. It sells out every time. So they never take the smart pill and go, hey, this book that's selling out every time, maybe I should order a few more copies of that instead of 10 copies of My Little Pony, which has no track record whatsoever. Am I right?
You're 100% right, but the speculator market is back. Image created it. It's not to go as far back as The Walking Dead, but I just seen that a Walking Dead number one sold for $2,000. Really? You want to read The Walking Dead number one? Go watch 28 Days Later. No, is it 28 Days Later? Or is it just 28 Days? No, I can't remember.
I think 28 Days Later was a sequel. I don't watch any of those zombie shows, so I don't know. I watched part of The Walking Dead and I thought it was stupid.
It was stupid. It was 100% stupid. But The Walking Dead...
Worst acting I've ever seen. Terrible acting. Yeah, I don't know who's more stiff, the zombies or the people who are not zombies on that show.
Yet the general public loves it. What can you do, right?
Oh, that zombie.
Here's something that if he ever finds out that I said this, I don't know if he listens to your podcast or not, but I can get in a lot of trouble for saying this.
Well, that's what I do on this show, Dan. I say stuff I instantly regret, and
good.
Then go upload it before I can edit it.
Then I will instantly regret this. If you really want to know about The Walking Dead, go to Gary Reed's website and read everything he had to say when someone called him out for stealing from The Walking Dead for the new Dead World series. That's all I can say. Dead World came out in 1988. So don't ever, ever say that Dead World stole from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's... You know, stuff like that breaks my heart.
It's horrible. Kirkman's a piece of shit.
Yeah, well... I mean, not to toot my own horn, but nobody gave a rat's ass about zombies 10 years ago.
Nope, you're right. You're right.
The guys, you know, I brought it back as a parody. You know, I made zombie fetuses. And then there was a guy, Christopher Herndon, who came along who did a book called Living with Zombies.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, 5 years later, it was zombies and nothing but zombies anywhere. You know, there are a couple people out there, you know, Dead World being one of them, who were just a pebble in the pond. You know, you drop a pebble and the ripple spread and spread and spread. And then at the very apex of the ripple, somebody reading The Walking Dead goes and looks back and goes, Living with Zombies, that's a ripoff of this. Dead World, that's a ripoff of that. Because they don't know. No, that was the apex, knucklehead. But that's
all we're trying to say is the comic book industry is horrible.
Yes. it's full of buffoons.
Nobody
looks at it like a business. The stores all look at it like it's their personal clubhouse.
Right.
Everybody is doing these independent books. They look at it like, you know, it's a vanity project. Actually, they don't realize it's a vanity project, even though it is. But they look at it, you know, it's their little dream, and it's your job to buy the dream and get on board. It's not their job to explain why the dream is good. You know, the larger publishers are just, you know, rehashing 50, 60-year-old ideas and, you know, putting a new costume on the guy or having Spider-Man marry somebody. It's all just, it's just garbage. We're just surrounded by crap. Why do we do this?
I don't know. I got nothing. My whole objective of today was just to get you riled up.
Well, you did it. I'm going to go back to sleep. Lie down.
You're at an hour and 1 minute, just so you know.
Hour and 1 minute. Okay, well, that's two podcasts. That'll
okay.
Be fine. Yeah, it's Christmas time. There's a lot of people who don't have anything to do. They just want something on in the background while they don't decorate their tree because they don't have one.
Well, we should talk about Christmas. What do you want? What's your big present for Christmas? What do you want?
What do I want?
Yeah.
I don't want anything.
No?
No.
Then you're in luck because I got you nothing.
Thank you, dude. Oh, there was I did have a Christmas question for you.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I said on the last podcast, you probably haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. Did you have good Christmases when you were a kid?
I remember good Christmases as a kid. It was always difficult because I always had four with step-parents. But I remember good Christmases. Yeah, sure.
There was a school teacher in New York who told a second grade class, 7 and 8 year olds, there was no Santa Claus.
Oh, I got that beat. I was told when I was three.
When you were three?
Yeah. I don't technically remember it. My sister's a year older than me, so she remembers it a little bit more. But my mom has repeatedly told us a million times. We were at the mall and we were in line to meet Santa Claus, and we weren't behaving. So my dad pulled us out of the line, sat us down, and explained that there was no Santa Claus.
Wow. Yeesh. It's punishment. All right, you're not going to behave? Watch this. I'm ruining your childhood.
So from a very early age, no, I knew there was no Santa Claus.
No. No, forget it then. This question doesn't work.
Okay. The family tradition was always, if it's wrapped, it's from a family member, but if you wake up and it's not wrapped and it's under the tree and already assembled, then it's from Santa. So like I remember getting the Voltron castle where it wasn't, you know, it wasn't wrapped and it was already assembled, so I got that from Santa and stuff like that. But yes, at 3 years old I was told that there was no Santa.
Ugh.
Yeah. When did you find out the truth?
I was like probably 6 or 7 or 8 or something like that.
Okay. So older than me.
I was 14. What?
To make it.
Yeah, when I get my driver's license, I'm going to drive for the North Pole and I'm going to help Santa.
To make it worse, I don't know if it tops it, but it kind of adds to it. We were, if my dad ever wanted to go to a haunted house, and I'm talking we were three to 5 years old, and we're young, you know, we're scared to go do this, we would still be forced to go do it. So to this day...
I'm starting to like your dad. I gotta hang out.
So
everybody's got better stories than that scared you so much you don't remember them.
So nowadays, being into horror and stuff like that, I could honestly care less about a haunted house. I've gone through them, and to me they're just boring. But I don't want to do them because of when I was younger. But I've gone through them, and I honestly just don't care. So now I see it as more of this huge waste of money than anything else. But for a long time, that led up to, you know, fear and shit like that.
And if you don't behave, I'm going to send you to the haunted house again.
Exactly. It was more. We're already in line. I've already paid for you. Your ass is going through here.
That's hysterical. That's hysterical. See, my dad would just put me in line and leave. Well, I'll be back in 2 hours. You go through it or you don't, and whatever. But I'll be back in 2 hours.
That's funny. So what was the Christmas question?
Well, the question was going to be, would you... A couple of days ago, I was comparing this woman who ruined all these children's Christmases to a child molester.
Oh.
And I was saying that it was equal. Actually, I realized it wasn't equal, but I couldn't convince myself that it wasn't equal. Because everything that came out of my mouth made me more assured that it was equal. Because you're ruining a childhood.
Sure.
You know, all those magic moments are gone. Like, your best memory of Christmas, if you believe in Santa, imagine never having that memory.
Right. Just like movie.
I was saying, this is like... When I say it's as bad as being molested, I realize that that's insane.
Sure.
Yet. And yet, I think that. I think it's as bad. You think
right.
It's as bad?
No, I mean...
Would you rather have been molested or told that there was no Santa? But you were already told, so it's not really...
Yeah, and having never been molested, I can't speak on that half, I suppose.
You're going to have to use your imagination on both.
I think I
said I would have rather been molested.
Really?
I think so.
Then losing hope? What about religion?
What do you mean?
That's keeping hope around for all time.
Yeah, but it's not Santa Claus.
Isn't it?
Well, people think it is. People think they pray and get stuff, and they think it's Santa Claus. But no, it's different. Santa Claus is like this magical childhood thing. You know, it's a brief moment in your life where life doesn't suck and everything's magical and wonderful.
I don't know. I'm Jewish. What do I know?
What? I didn't know that.
I didn't either. I just believe in Hanukkah, Harry.
Okay, look. But I think if you get molested and you still believe in Santa Claus, you at least still have good Christmases.
Sure.
You just had something really bad happen, but you still get to have all the good stuff.
Sure. Okay, I am.
Whereas if they tell you, but you don't get molested, you don't have the bad, but you still don't have the good. So I guess it depends on you. I would rather have the bad and the really good than the just mediocre.
Sure. I understand where you're coming from with that. Yeah, I get
it. It also depends on how much it would hurt. And there's different degrees of what molesting is.
Sure.
Some guys are just into, you know, as if it's stuff those people are into.
Yeah, that's their thing. That's not for us.
I feel like you're getting uncomfortable, man.
You crossed the border with that one.
Because there's some molesters who are just going to do stuff to you, you realize. you really might be coming out on the clean end of the stick both ways when you look at it.
Oh my God!
Merry Christmas and a happy ending.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
But I don't think molesters are concerned with your happy ending.
Some of them are. You know, I read stuff.
Do you? Do you read stuff?
I live in Milwaukee. There's every level of lunatic over here.
That's true.
The newspaper here, it just reads like a horror movie every day.
Isn't Milwaukee big on cheese and sausage? So you got a big Polish community up there.
Yeah. But we have a lot of Latinos now. Anybody with really bad cholesterol, this is where they come.
Well, that's Milwaukee. You guys are the home of the butter burger. Where
yeah.
You thought it was good to put a burger covered in butter on a sandwich.
And then a stick of butter... cooked into the burger. Don't forget that.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
Well, it's not cooked in like, it's not like a Twinkie.
But it's like a stuffed burger, right? Where there's a...
No. Oh. They just take the ground beef and mix it all together with an entire stick of butter.
Well, of course, like... because that's smart, right? Yeah, that's how you really get there. You know, hey, come to Wisconsin because we got too much dairy product that we know what to do with.
Right. We got to do something with it. Put it in the burger.
And as soon as, and if you didn't know, as soon as you cross the border from Illinois into Wisconsin, it's porn shop, motorcycle shop, cheese, 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 porn shop, porn shop. And that's just on 294. I don't know what other way you're going, but...
Yeah, no, you're right. That's both ways, east and west. But it is. Well,
and then
they eat the cheese, they're too fat to get laid, so they need the porn shop. And then they have a, you know, and they feel bad about themselves because of whatever they bought at the porn store, so they got to boost their egos, and then they're right around on a Harley.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like the fact that right there in Milwaukee is the Miller Brewing Plant, and then right around the corner is the Harley shop, or the Harley plant.
Right. And we have, like, the most lenient drunk driving laws in the country.
I don't know. Can you compare to Missouri? When I lived in Missouri, it was legal if the passengers in the car were drinking, as long as they weren't driving. So as long as the driver's not drinking, you couldn't be busted.
Wow. Now that's a town.
This is also the state. I just want to make sure everyone knows this. This is also the state where, while I was there in college, they elected a dead man because he died 2 weeks before the election and he won.
I think I remember that.
And then his wife took his seat.
Yes, 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 yes. I do remember that. That wasn't that long ago.
Oh, God. It was. God, I think I graduated in 2005.
Well, I'm old, so 2005 doesn't feel that long ago.
Seven years ago, but still, yeah, yeah, exactly. It was like, what? Are you kidding? But yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. I'm fine with that. You can't do any worse than the living politicians we got. Try a few dead people. Just stick them up there. See if anybody notices.
Oh, Christ.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up, huh?
All right. I'll let you do your outro.
Well, thanks, Dan, for being on.
You have permission.
You have permission to end my show.
It's so hard to be on the other side of things. It really is.
Well, you did fine work. Did a good job today.
Thanks for
helping out. I don't know. I've only had like three casts, so I don't really know how to end it when there's a cast.
Oh, all you do is say, get lost, and I'll talk to you next week. That's really it.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk again in a few days. We'll keep pumping these out up until the New Year's are over. You can get through the New Year's. Hide from them with me, my misery. Until next time, think.